Thanks. I think I can make this short. Some of the information's been covered by David and by Philip already. Peter Goodell and Pete Ellsworth and David Haviland helped me put this information together, and I said, sure, I'll deliver it for you. So that's sort of where the talk came from. David Haviland is our perennial crop fruit and nut farm advisor in Kern County. So he deals a lot with mites on those crops. Again, we're primarily dealing with two spotted spider mite in California, and that's really where my comments will apply, California conditions and this particular mite. As David already mentioned, this is a mite, a species that has multiple crop hosts and has the potential to build up very, very fast because of the number of eggs it produces, the speed that it develops, etc. So it's certainly a pest that can explode if you're not on top of it. We have mite infestations on many crops in California. This is almonds, and the one there on the right is a spur with about a million spider mites on the tip of that spur, and a slight bit of webbing there, sort of webbing to the nth degree, I guess, shown there. But spider mites are a significant problem on almonds in California, and certainly, again, just like cotton, something that producers have to deal with every year. Peach trees, significant problem on peaches. Plums, 4-H grasses, this happens to be a Timothy grass. Dry beans, you can see untreated on the right and treated on the left. Sugar beets, I think you get the idea. Basically, if it's a green crop and it's growing in California, we have to deal with spider mites. This is a sugar beet field. It's a little hard to see, but the green leaf there is what it should look like, and it looked like you just put a net over the whole field, 80-acre sugar beet field with a net over the field from spider mites. Corn and cotton. Also, infestations occur on a number of weeds. This shows morning glory and the pigweed complex. Certainly mites infest those quite readily. And our system in California is we have a complex multi-crop system. This is obviously a GIS map. I think it's about 5 miles by 5 miles. And the colors indicate different crops. There's about 25 crops on this map. And if you go for any one mile radius, there's probably 4 or 5 different crops in that radius. So that certainly creates a potential for mites to move from crop to crop. And indeed, in our cropping system, they will move from perennial crops to cotton, corn, sugar beets, etc. And this just shows almonds growing behind a cotton field. So I'd like to talk just a little bit about factors occurring outside the cotton field and what effect that could have on managing mites in cotton, and the factors occurring within the cotton field. So if we look outside the cotton field, and I think this was mentioned before, and I mentioned it in my earlier talk, but many times we'll have mites that arrive in cotton and they're already resistant to kelthane and comite. So kelthane and comite have been used in almonds or in grapes, and you try to use those products in cotton and they didn't work. And cotton producers say, I haven't used these products in my field. This is the first acaricide I've used in my field. Well, the mites were already exposed in the other crop and they moved into cotton. Also, there's some information that was shown that the host plant that the mite feeds on affects the response to insecticides. So you might have mites that have fed on corn, not treated at this point, but the fact they fed on corn, they then move to cotton, they're harder to kill. So the crop they're feeding on affects their susceptibility or the response to certain acaricides. Mites spilling over from other crops, corn, sugar beets, whatever, into cotton, that's obviously a factor, but I would say it's probably not a major factor in California. Most of these crops, the mites are managed fairly well. Almonds, peaches, plums, those are high-value crops, and you don't let the mites get out of control. Corn, yeah, the mites can get out of control on corn. Sugar beets, the mites could get out of control on sugar beets because there were no miticides registered in sugar beets at all. But for the most part, most of the fields, they're managed fairly well. So the spillover problem isn't what I would call a major problem. It can happen in a few cases, but not a major problem. Another situation that these other crops can create is producing overwintering mites. So you have a cornfield, Maybe the mites built up at the end of the season, and that provides overwintering mites. Those overwintering mites can survive on weeds, as David alluded to, on litter, on the soil. They actually can survive in the soil. You then plant cotton in that field next year, the mites are there. You've got a ready-made infestation in that case. And this just shows an overwintering orange-colored two-spotted spider mite. If you look at the interface between, say, corn and cotton, weedy field margins, weeds can create a situation in cotton, and dust. You know, it's important to control the dust coming off the field borders and the field, the farm roads along the edge of the field. Many of our growers will water their roads. I know some growers that apply sulfur dust to the roads, and the concept being that when the dust is created, it contains sulfur, so that you're basically putting sulfur on the cotton field. I don't know if that's quite legal or not, but I know some people did that. Went back and reviewed some of the publications that Dr. Tom Lee, who is a cotton entomologist in California for 30 years, published on spider mites. And this was a quote out of one of his publications: "Spider mite populations are held in balance by natural enemies, weather, and host quality." And he summarized it pretty succinctly there. Another comment was, he said, "Mites in California are omnipresent." I think that means they're in every field. So. Drought stress has been covered before, but certainly drought stress can cause the mites to reproduce more rapidly, creates a warmer leaf surface, can reduce the amount of naturally occurring fungal diseases. So that's the effect that drought stress can have on cotton fields. Our fields are irrigated, but still we'll see sandy strips in a field. You know, it might be 5% of the field. And the field is irrigated for the rest of the 95% of the field. And in those sandy strips, the cotton is drought stressed. And that's the first place you'll see mites build up, in those sandy strips. You know, growers typically don't go in and just treat those sandy areas. They'll treat the entire field. But maybe in some cases, spot treatments might have a role in that situation. Mite predators, I've already talked about western flower thrips. Six-spotted thrips is another species, not a big player in cotton. It seems to be more in the perennial crops, but certainly a very important predator. Other predators, lace wings, spider mite destroyer, stethrus. I don't think I've really seen this at all in cotton. It's in our perennial crops, but it is another predator. And then just the common generalist predators, big-eyed bugs, minute pirate bugs, Nabus, lady beetles, these all play a role in terms of managing mites. Western predatory mite is also an important factor. Again, doesn't seem to operate that well in cotton, at least not that I've seen. It's more in the perennial crops. We're hard-pressed to find them in cotton in a lot of cases, but in some of the perennial crops, it's very important predator of mites. A little bit on the effect of miticides on these predators. This is some work that David Haviland has been doing the last few years, and he looked at Zephyr in terms of the effect it has on western flower thrips that could be feeding on mites, and he calls Zephyr very toxic to western flower thrips. Then the effect of all these other products on predatory mites. So these are predatory mites that could be feeding on spider mites, and you can basically see it there. It ranges from being very toxic to something like Zeal, because it sterilizes the predatory mites along with sterilizing the spider mites, to things like Kelthane and Comite, which don't have that severe effect on the predatory mites. And again, this is work that David Haviland and Frank Zalem in my department, Davis, has been doing. We've talked about the effect of broad-spectrum insecticides, reducing the population's natural enemies. Also, homozygosis, a fancy term for causing mites to produce more eggs and reproduce more. In California, that's documented with organophosphates and pyrethroids. Certainly, organophosphates and pyrethroids are used. We use them for Lygus bugs. We use them for other pests. But producers just have to be on their toes. They know if they use these products, they have to be on their toes for coming back and taking care of spider mites and also taking care of cotton aphids in some cases. It's just a fact. They have to use pyrethroids to control Lygus bugs, so they know they're going to have to come back and manage spider mites. And this is the last thing I'll touch on is minimum till and no-till. This is something that's not done much in California. It's really sort of on the experimental research farm basis, but we have one researcher looking at minimum till and no-till, and this just shows some of his plots. I believe that was a rye stubble, rye planted in the fall, and then cotton planted into that in the spring. And I'll just say that in this situation, spider mites are very difficult to control. I mean, if you want the one place on the research farm that's going to have spider mites, you go to his field, because that's the one place that's going to have spider mites. And they know that basically it's from the time the cotton emerges, they're going to have to be treating it with miticides just to get it through. Again, this is sort of these are research plots. We're not talking about grower fields at this point, but on the research farm, that's something we've certainly observed. So just in a nutshell, that's sort of the landscape effect with spider mites. I think we have a lot to learn yet on how the mites move from crop to crop and some of the implications and effects of no-till, minimum-till, and some of the other factors. Next.